Still protect us. I have a thing in my mind all the time. I should call it CP. Keep all pathways clear. Many times I don't. I wish I had. I was working on a bookshelf and I had my books stacked in a chair and left it sitting out on the floor. Fell backwards into the coat rack. The thing because I didn't have all my pathways clear. But I'm all right. Just knocked a little skin off, so that's all right. God still take care of me.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
We're going to read this morning from Psalm 41, verses 1 through 13. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful and thankful for this opportunity that you have given us to come together to worship. Father, we pray that you will bless our hearts, Father, and uplift them. Lord, let your word so abide in us, Lord, and lead us and bless us. Lord, let us always learn to love one another above all things. God, we want to love you. We want to walk this earth, Lord, with love in our hearts as you did. The enemies may come, Lord, but we know that you are there. We thank you for it. And just bless these words we read this morning. Lord, let them be a part of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 41. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble.
The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies.
The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou will make his bed and his sicknesses.
I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee.
Mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die, and his name perishes?
And if he come to see me, he speaketh vanity. His heart gathers iniquity to himself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it.
All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt.
An evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast unto him. And now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more.
Yea, mine own familiar friends, in whom I trust, which did eat of my bread, and lifted up his heel against me.
But thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me, and raise me up, that I may require them.
By this I know that thou favorest me, because my enemies do not triumph over me.
And as for me, thou upholdest me in my integrity, and settest me before thy face forever.
Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Amen. So thankful for that assurance we have that our Father, he protect us from all of our enemies, and he's a God of war, but he's also our defense and great tower in time of need. Brother Michael, would you come this morning and take up the tithes and offering?
Thank you. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Yes, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Do you believe that? Oh, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in. To him once more, and greater is he that is in me. Oh, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world.
Let's just sing this chorus off.
Oh, hail King Jesus.
Shake somebody's hand and say, I am a child of God. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to have everyone here. Good to have a good crowd. Brother Bob Black, you weren't here last night, right? Y'all know what one of the questions was last night if you were here. What's the difference in conscious and the Holy Ghost? So you just laid it right out there better than I did. So I appreciate that. So maybe a Brother Elisha's wanted to ask it from Ohio. So I'm going to send him a text and tell him to listen in. And that was wonderful. We sure do appreciate that. But that was one of the topics that we talked about last night. And strange. Just somehow God works that way. That's kind of strange. But good to be in the house of the Lord. We're going to have a baby dedication today. We have Brother Daniel and Sister Rayma Perry with us, and little Ava Noel. We're going to dedicate her to the Lord. It was an honor to baptize our sister, Sister Rayma, a year or so ago, and now they got a baby. So we're going to dedicate it this morning to the service of the Lord. And if you'll bring it up here, we will do that. So let's sing, Bring Them In.
Them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, oh, bring the little ones to Jesus.
She like, who's that? She's a pretty girl. You gonna let me hold you? Come on, can I hold you? Can I hold you? Can I hold you? Say, you don't know about that. Come on, come here, I hold you. Come on. Oh, my word. Oh, yeah. This is Sister Ava Noel Perry, and we're gonna dedicate her to the Lord. There, stand right there and look at everybody. Now, what did Brother Dale always tell us? We gotta live before the baby. Okay? Be her Holy Ghost until she gets it. Amen? And then maybe she'll get used to me. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you've given this union a child, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that the child will be blessed, Lord, as we were talking last night about young children having an angel that watches over them, Lord, and especially until they come to the age of accountability, and then they have to make their choice. Lord, I pray that you protect our little sister, little Ava Noel, Lord, and be with her and bless her life, Lord. Just be with the parents, Lord. May they live in front of the child, Lord, in admonition of you, that they'll see Christ in each other and she'll see it in them. Father, I pray that you'd bless them now. Be with them. Take care of them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. She there? Bring them in. God bless you. God bless you, buddy. Love you. Appreciate you. God bless you. Good to see you. God bless you, buddy. God bless you. Oh, bring them in. Bring them in. Bring the little ones to Jesus. Brother Dan, you bring your horn? I figured you would. You got a car, right? So you drove. We'll let him play for us this afternoon. But good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you with us. We did have a good Bible study last night, and everybody participated. Everybody that was there, that they told of their favorite scripture and what it meant to them, and how it connected to their life, and it was just wonderful to hear each and every one, even the kids, tell why their scripture was the most favorite one. Not just read it, but tell exactly why that was their favorite scripture. And we all have a favorite scripture because it connects to us. Before the foundation of the world, God knew, as we were talking about last night, in the back part of God's mind, the vision part of God's mind, he saw all this. And he orchestrates this to even today us to be here. So let's make the best of it. Amen? We got communion and foot washing today. This is first Sunday. So Brother Aaron will be speaking for us Wednesday night on Mother's Day, which is next Sunday. Brother Bob will be speaking. Sister June and I will be in Ohio preaching for them. We only have one service next Sunday, and then you can go visit your mother or have your mother with you and take her out to eat if you can get in a restaurant. One of the busiest days in a restaurant. I don't know why you have to take your mama out to eat, but I guess you have to take her out to eat so she won't have to cook. Maybe that's what it is. So remember that. We went to see Sister Johnny yesterday and visited her for a little while before we came to Bible study, and she's in good spirits. She still believes that we serve a mighty God. Amen. Even though she's sitting, laying in a hospital bed, she still believes that. Not a hospital bed, but a rehab facility. She still believes it. She still believes that God's going to heal her. God is the healer. So we're going to believe with her. She's going to go with their program. She's going to do what the program says, the doctor says, and then I believe we'll be able to see her again. And I appreciate the Lord having doctors that can help our body to be able to heal. But she's in good spirits. She's tell everybody hello, and God bless you, and she loves you with the love of the Lord. Also remember, we're going to have a special meeting. I told you about it a couple of weeks ago, and we can't have it Memorial Day weekend because some are not going to be here. So on June the 2nd, the first Sunday of next month, everybody with me, we're going to have a service, and at the end of the service, we're going to have ordination of the new members, or me and Brother Bob and different ones, for a service. And Brother Richard Wilson is going to come. He was so happy that yesterday he said, yes, I'll be there. I'll be there. So he's coming. He's bringing his boys. And they won't let him drive now, he said. So they drive him down here. So they're going to try to see if the whole church can come. So we'll have a regular service on June the 2nd, one service. And then we'll have an ordination service after that. Brother Richard Wilson will be doing it. And a lot of you don't know Brother Richard. We all grew up together. We grew up with his kids. He's been my dad's side. They've been beside each other for a long time. And he stands for the word of the Lord, the truth. And we sure appreciate Brother Richard and him coming and doing that and being happy to do it. So that will be. And then we'll probably just have a meal after that. If you want, we can stay around in fellowship. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. That'll be about 4 weeks from now. But Brother Richard Wilson will be here on June the 2nd, one service. We'll have an ordination service after that. And then we will have a meal and not have a second service. So God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Thank you for all the things that that last night we had a wonderful time in Bible study. And if I can get this new thing to work here, we'll have something up on the screen. But today we're still going to be talking about the Thyatira church age. But we're going to talk about there was two things that happened in that church age. It was one of the longest church ages, right? And it was probably the darkest because there was a lot of killing going on, physically and spiritually. So there was two things that went on during that church age that we're going to talk about that affects us today. Number one is works. And it's all convoluted, you know, well, the works. No, we'll see what the prophet said and what the Bible says about it today, because they did, God told him, he said, I know thy works. All right, and then we're going to talk about, it's really strange, if you read the Bible and read it slow, it says, God says in the church age, he says, I will kill them with death. Right. Well, now, if you kill them, they're already dead. No, he said, I'll kill them with death. Dead and don't know it. That's what come out of that church age. So let's bow our heads just for a minute. Dear Lord, thank you for this time you've given us. Thank you for the people, Lord, that's assembled here, Father, that's under this roof. I pray that you'd bless them now, Lord. Sanctify them, Lord. Just clear all the conscious back as we were talking about, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit resonate in the word and be a sounding board, Lord, that people can say that ain't nothing but the truth. And Father, we pray that you'd be with the ones that are not here, that are sick, Sister Johnny, Sister Mary, Sister Gail, different ones. Lord, I pray that you'd touch their bodies. Lord, I pray that you'd be with the ones, Lord, that are here that are sin sick, Lord, that need you. Father, I pray that you'd anoint them, Father, as the word goes forth, the Holy Ghost fall on them, Lord, and they receive the newness of life as we were talking about. Lord, I pray that you'd be with the ones, Lord, that are in the foreign fields, Lord, the ones we're connected with, Lord, I pray that you'd bless them and be with them, touch them. Forgive us of our sins and our many mistakes that we make, Father. Just bless Brother and Sister Dale, Lord, as they're sitting home watching, Father, and Anna. I pray that you'd be with them, Lord, and anoint them, Father, with anointing that's here in this building now. Lord, thank you for Brother Daniel, Sister Rayma coming, Lord, bringing their children and having the baby dedicated, Lord. It's an honor and a privilege to do that and hand them back to you, Lord. You gave them to us. Now we're going to hand them to you, Father, and you protect their little life in Jesus' name. Amen. And Brother Boyd's working on the lights. It may be a little too bright right here, but we're going to work on it. Don't worry about it. You know, you remember Abraham Lincoln? Everybody knows who he is. Listen to what he said. He said, I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. I've been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. On our knees. Let's read Revelations 1, and then we'll get started. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as it was a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. That's what we've been talking about. Well, now we're in the Middle Age, all right? And what thou seest, write in a book and send it to seven churches which are in Asia, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira. That's the age we're in now that we're talking about now. We're in Laodicea. Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of those seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. And we talked about the imagery last week, and we'll talk about it a little bit more. Clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. You may be seated, the Lord adds blessings to the reading of the word. And we've been talking in the church ages about, we had the Alpha Bride and we had the Omega Bride, and in between, sorry. My son's leading the orchestra back there. How about that? That better? Okie dokie. And now we've come to the Thyatira church age, but we had the two bookends, the Alpha Bride and the Omega Bride. They're mirror images of each other. But in between that, though, God allowed, now listen, God allowed man to get involved because he was going to have to restore over here. All right? He had the full word over here in a group of people, but to come back, as Joel says, I will restore all those things. There had to be a fall. There had to be a seed go in the ground and die. Amen. All right? To come out into justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and into the fullness of the word that we're into right now. All right? Everybody with me? All right? So let's read this. This is a long reading, but I want you to watch how many times God says works. All right? Revelation 2, verse 18. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes. Now remember, they don't get the Son of Man revelation until the end time. Amen? But they do have a revelation of the Son of God, which is the Spirit God, the Holy Ghost, dwelling inside the people. And really, in this church age, that was about all they had. Because once you said you were a Christian, you didn't live very long. All right? But they survived. They made it through. Some people made it through. 68 million, as Josh was sending me the numbers, California and Texas, two of the biggest states, there's 68 some odd million people in those two states. The Catholic Church, along with others, destroyed, obliterated those two states, and there wasn't nobody left. 68 million Christians put to death in that age. So let's look at this. These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes likened to what? Flames of fire and feet likened to fine brass. I know thy works. All right, there it is. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works. There it is again. And the last to be more than the first. We won't read the rest of it. We'll get through the church ages here. Now, remember, we were in the church ages, and we see that each one of them had a messenger. There was a star. There was a messenger come, Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, Luther, Wesley, and then we had the Holy Ghost come on the day of Pentecost, and then you had the Elijah anointing for the end time. All right, everybody with me on that? I just really appreciate what our brother said this past Wednesday night. That was a good message there, putting Elisha, and it types us, and that's who we are. We're the Elisha. We have the Elijah anointing, but Elisha topped the bride is what Brother Branham said, all right? But you and I are now in this Laodicean age, but the Thyatiran age was the fourth age, and it was the longest age from 606 to 1520. And then what happened was now in Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, there was a full word of God, and then man got involved. Man got involved. Man got involved. Man got involved. And it was so-called Christian men got involved. It was the devil himself, but he was disguised as the word of the hour for the day. Everybody with me? That sound familiar? All right. He's disguised himself today in the word of the day, but today, remember, today is the apex. Today he is going to sit on a throne here on earth and be called God. But it started in infancy back there. I was looking at some old notes, and I'll bring it out maybe later on, but, you know, in James it says when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. When sin is finished, it brings forth death. When it's finished, you got those four stages to go through. If you cut them off in either one of those, you know, because we all sin, as we were talking last night. We're sinners saved by grace. But by the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your soul can't sin anymore. Never can, never will, nothing be held against it. So if you do sin, it's in your spirit realm, and you allow it to happen. Well, the devil made me do it. Well, I think we blame him a little too much. Because you're a free moral agent, right? You can do whatever you want to do. You're a free moral agent. And you do, and you say, the devil made me do it. Well, let's talk about that a little bit more. No, he didn't. You did it. Let me get rid of this. So now remember, everything happens. The lap over is the grace from one age to the other. So you got the first three ages. You've got actually St. Patrick was not a church age messenger, but in the Thyatiran church age, he was born of St. Martin's sister. So there was a connection there between the church age messenger before that in the Pergamene church age. Then you had St. Patrick comes in, and then St. Patrick passes away, and then here comes Columba. So Columba's the messenger of this age, all right? And he was born in Donegal, Ireland, where Brother George Quinn's from. But in that lap over, there was something happened. Even the good happened, but even the evil happened. There was a Nicene Council. There was people getting together saying, oh, he was not God. He was a light substance, or he couldn't be this and couldn't be that. And the idea of a Trinitarian doctrine came up. An idea of a Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism came up, right? In that lap over. And then the church age comes. But from the Pergamene church age, it means thoroughly married. So as Christ and the bride are married, so is Satan and his bride are married, thoroughly married. Listen, it wasn't, let me say this. It wasn't bad when Ahab was on earth and Jezebel was on earth. It's when they come together. It's when they come together is when the havoc happened, the murder began to happen. It's when they thoroughly married, when church and state thoroughly married under Constantine, that's when the problem started. If you look in history, though, they think Constantine's a really good guy. He created the crusade, and he had the crossbacks and all those things. He was a deceiver. He was one that brought it down, and he brought it down under the auspice of making religion more powerful. Sure, it's true. Religion was more powerful. I said religion. Whose religion are you talking about? The devil's religion. Because they were thoroughly married during that Pergamene church age, and then it carried right on over into the Thyatiran church age. This one lasted from 312 to 606. And remember, the Council of Nicaea was 325 A.D. And that's when they began to come together. All right? Is everybody with me? And during that age, there was some that held fast the name, and then we're going to see, we know where Satan's seat is, we know where Satan dwelleth, but I have a few things against you because thou hast there in them that hold that doctrine of Balaam, which is what? Trickery. It was trickery. Under the auspice that we were going to be better off if you put these two together. Listen, remember, there's one God. And one God with one bride doesn't make two. One God with one bride makes one.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. If you got two, Brother Brown said, anywhere you got two, one's God, one's the devil. All right? Who taught Balaam to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed to idols and commit fornication? So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine. Now it becomes a doctrine of the Nicolaitans. It's something that now is preached. It's not hidden in a corner somewhere. It's being preached from a pulpit. All right, so they've come and brought it to the pulpit, and what have they brought? They brought a doctrine that was false. And God hated it, but remember, it wasn't that he couldn't do anything about it. God allowed this to happen so that this next church age, everything could fall in the ground. Because by that time, everything was gone in the fourth church age. There was nothing much of the first three ages in that fourth church age. Because man had got involved. Rome had got involved. But there still was a group of people that out of all that made it. Out of all that, they made it. You come to church today, if they came to church during their time and they got caught, they died. And they'd throw you in the lion's den. But now, God told them in that third church age, he said, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. There was a group of people that did that, that fought against it. In every age, there is a true bride. Every age, there's truth. But now, remember, in every age, there's false, too. That's the law of contrast. So the Pergamene church age, Brother Bram said, look, by the time this third church age, we have two churches bearing the same name, but with a bitter difference between them. One has departed from the truth. That's what we're going to get into this afternoon. And as I was telling last night, we kind of touched on it a little bit. The denominational system is what's dead. Now, there's people that'll be given eternal life. There's people that'll come out of that. But the system is dead. Now, when it's dead, it don't come back. That's why Brother Brown said, he said, read that again. I will kill them with death. Death killing death. You think, well, that's not right. Well, we'll look at it this afternoon and we'll see that it's absolutely the truth. We have two churches bearing the same name, but with a bitter difference between them. One has departed from the truth, married idols, and has no life in her. That really is what the definition of dead means. You have no life. She has hybridized herself and the signs of death. That's what we'll talk about this afternoon. The signs of death, not life, follow in her wake. But now, if you look on the outside and looked in your history books, they started making big cathedrals. They started putting up, as Brother Bob and the different ones said, you look at these great big churches, you say, how in the world do they even pay the power bill? Right. Yeah. The pipe organs, you know, millions of dollars just so you can play so it sounds good. But they're dead. The Bible says you're dead while you're alive. And if that darkness in you, if that light in you that you think you have be darkness, how great is that darkness? Think about that in our life. Let's get that part of the darkness out that we think is light. We think we're okay. Let's don't ever think we're okay. Let God tell us we're okay. As we were talking last night, we're going to be sticky right up to the change. We're going to be old. Those of us that are old are going to be old right up to the change. But praise God, what a change that'll be. As we were talking last night in Thessalonians, somebody asked a question about that. We got to get the dead out of the ground. The dead's got to come back before we take a rapture. So don't be talking about a rapture. Be talking about a message of resurrection. The same loud voice that called Lazarus from the grave is going to speak through us one day. Maybe sooner than we think. But the dead in Christ shall rise first. She is powerful with many members. She is favored by the world. Is that? But God says no. God says separate from that. God said if you love the world, the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in you. All right? She is favored by the world. The other is a little persecuted group. But she follows the word. And the signs follow her. The sick are healed. The dead are raised. I was reading about Columba and many things in his life. As I was reading on the internet, one guy, he was like, this just can't be. They've exaggerated his life. Brother Brown said, he didn't read that, but Brother Brown said he was solid. He healed the sick, raised the dead. Walked up to a big old stone wall one time that had gates, and they wouldn't let him in the city, and he just turned around, walked away, and something said, turn back around, and the gates opened, and what happened was one of the guys inside, one of the chiefs or something, his son fell dead. And they called him in to pray for him, and he converted a whole bunch of people there. That's how God works. That's how little Columba got around. And then Columba would take 10 or 12 of his monks, and he would go to an island or go to a place, and he would build a city. There's an island over there called Hy, H-Y, over in Ireland now. And it was the worst island. There was nothing growing. There was no habitation. And they said now it's the most lush island in Ireland. 3 miles long and a couple miles wide. Little old bitty island, but it's called the Island of Columba. Because he went there, took his monks there, and it flourished now under his ministry. But what he would do, he would teach those monks and then send them out. And they converted in Ireland and in different countries like that, Scotland and all that. And the UK is where Columba did his work. The sick are healed, the dead are raised. She is alive with life and the word of God. She loves not her life. Now, that's the group of people coming up, that they love not their life unto death, but holds to his name and his faith even unto death. Now, come on, folks, you and I have not been through that before. These people may have persecuted for what you believe, or persecuted because you wear pants or don't wear pants. Men wear pants and not shorts, and women wear dresses, and you'd be persecuted for that. But not to kill you. These people were, listen, these people were Christians, and they didn't dress one way and the others dress another way. They all dressed the same back then. You didn't have to worry about a woman wearing pants. She didn't have none on. But it was what? It was the life they lived. It was they went to church. They served God. They were different. We got to be different. God's going to only want to make you different, though, because you can think you're different, But all of a sudden, one day, you're going to be just like the world if you don't have what's inside of you to make you different. And that's what these four living creatures. And we'll get back onto them when we start on the seals and bring out a little bit more. But remember in Revelations 4:6, there were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was a lion, second was a calf, third was a face of a man. And then we are in the now eagle anointing age, the flying eagle. And listen, it's like I said before, a lion when it's born, it has to have milk. Now it's going to be a meat eater, but it has to have milk. All right? A calf, when it's born, it's a grass eater, but it drinks milk first several years or months of its life. And then we don't start feeding little Ava. Is not going to eat a steak today. Okay, she might if she's a little bit older, but you're not going to feed a baby. You're going to feed it what? Milk. And even Paul talks about the sincere milk of the word. We all have to grow as babies do. Look at the life of you. Look at your life. And that's the way your Christian life grows. That's the way I can see it. By your life, by my life. Pretty simple. It's like Brother Bob said, we know when the Bible says no man don't need no man to teach you anything, or Brother Branham said that don't mean that you can sit home. We shouldn't have to be told not to commit adultery. If you're a Christian, you won't. We're not to be told, now, don't y'all steal. There's something wrong with you if you're still stealing and cussing. Or cursing. Cussing's in the South. But if you're still doing that, then you don't have the giver inside of you that'll give you deliverance from that. Everybody with me? It's pretty plain. It's like your brother said, you don't have to tell a Christian to come to church. It's only the sinners and unbelievers that you have to tell to come to church. Well, praise the Lord anyhow. Because listen, a born-again Christian will do what the Bible says without somebody teaching them every Sunday to do it. Now, as far as growing up in God, yes, we need apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, because the Bible says for the perfecting of the saints, not to make you a saint, but to perfect you. As a saint, to help you walk. And this right here, the lion, ox, or calf, the man intelligent, but as intelligent as man is, like I said before, take a bottle. You drink a bottle when you get started. We don't want to do that when we're a little older. We get away from those things. Paul said, not going back to that, but grow up. All right. And then a flying eagle doesn't have any milk glands. It definitely starts out eating meat. So in this church age, Brother Brown called us little eagles, messiahs, all the different things where she's a supernatural group of people. She only responds to revelation. She loves revelation. She loves this message of the hour. And that's the flying eagle, because what Mama Eagle does is she kills this big rabbit, brings it over there. Now, she doesn't stuff that rabbit down in the throat of that eagle. It'll choke it. So what does she do? She breaks it down every Sunday and Wednesday. Praise the Lord. Breaks it down and then takes and puts little bits in his mouth. And then when that eagle grows, he's like, rabbit equals food. Amen? Same way with the Word of God equals food. Not a drudgery, not I have to. If I don't come to church, Brother Wade's going to. I hope you didn't come here to see me. I hope you come here to find a word of God for your life. But it had to be done through the foolishness of preaching. Sorry about that. But God must have thought it was the best way to do it, or he'd have picked another one. Amen? Because I believe, don't we believe God will never make a mistake, right? He don't make mistakes. Right, okay, I just thought we was in the same group. All right, so the four beasts had six wings. They were full of eyes. They rest not day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And these living creatures, they're called zoons, or living beings. They're not therion beasts, which come up in the book of Revelation 13 and the different places, 11, 13, and 17. Those are untamable therion beasts, which are, you see them working now. Isn't that an untamable world out there?
Yes, it is.
You can't tame that world. Brother Bram said you put Abraham Lincoln and George Washington in every seat in the House and the Senate and even in the White House. You can't turn this thing around. Satan has got his hand so far into what? Not the political. Listen, politics is horrible. But what's going to kill us? The people in the religion. The people in the churches. The people in denominations. That's what's going to kill us. Don't worry about president, whoever gets to be the next president. He's just a puppet anyway. I was reading about a family the other day, and they're worth over $2 trillion, and we don't even know who they are. Jeff Bezos worth $145 billion. Well, now, a trillion is 10 times that. Isn't it, or 100? 10 or 100? Anyway, $2-point-something trillion, this family. And they don't even know their name. We know it's the Rothschilds and the different ones, that, you know, all those things that from back when, but they've all changed their name now, so they don't know who they are, but they're running the world. Money, women, and popularity. That's what's running this nation, too. Right? Everybody wants to be popular. We want to be the great United States of America that runs the world, and we will. We have great military power. I love Israel. My goodness, that little old country that ain't much bigger than Rhode Island. They snuck about 25 or 30 of their missiles, went through Syria, went through part of Iraq, and hit Iran's defense system, and nobody caught them on radar. Not one person. You know what Israel said? There's more to come, big boy. Israel said, you throw some more over this way. You know, we just threw those over there and you didn't even know where they were coming from. They got so much technology that not one radar system picked it up between three countries. And it hit their air defense system. So Israel was just giving them a little, what they call it, a shot across the bow. Said, hey, you send them over here. And even one guy, I was reading it yesterday, one guy said, Iran, you made a horrible mistake. Said, we're not coming. He said, we got people already there. So they got people within already. Praise God. He takes care of his own. Israel may have been divorced, but he said, I'll never forget her. I'll never forget Israel. And Israel will be there. Right there with us, 144,000. But that Therion beast, that characteristic is right now. But it's all going to head up in what? One, the Antichrist. And the world, you can read all over the internet what the Antichrist is Trump, the Antichrist is Biden, the Antichrist is that set of drums. They're living in the system of Antichrist and don't even know it. They're thinking something outside. Listen, let's don't think of the evil outside. Let's get rid of the evil inside. Let's get rid of us. Get us out of the way. And let God bring his bombs in and knock all that out of the way for us. Not worry about it. I don't worry about what the Baptists are doing. I really don't worry about what Israel's doing. But it's fascinating to see one little bitty country that everybody hates except a few. And when we start hating them, it's going to be terrible on us. But they've got enough technology to send 16 or 18 of their missiles right through everybody's defense system and never knew it. That'll make you almost cry. I mean, come on, people. That technology came from God to those people to survive. If not, listen, if it wasn't for God's hand, Israel wouldn't be here today. So God's hand is in all that. He's letting those missiles go through. He gave them the technology. You say, well, America's helping them. Well, America helps some, but I'm going to tell you something. Israel's a country of its own. And it's got its own way of doing things. If you'll notice, it doesn't have to go through Congress and the Senate and go through a stinking president before they drop bombs. They drop bombs and then let you know about it later. I like that. But these beasts are wild, untamed savages. Look at all the killings that's going on. Mass murders everywhere. That's that Therion beast in that system, but I'm talking about the Therion beast that's inside of the system. Working. Trying to get me and you what? Off course. Trying to get me and you just one crack. Just one crack. That's why the Bible says compacted. Compact this thing down to where Satan can't get in. Because listen, if he ever gets a foothold, he can get in. We know that because it happens to us. Amen? But untamable beast is all that black. But it heads up in the end time in a man that the world believes is their savior finally. All right? Going to save everybody, but what he's going to do, he's going to destroy everything. That Battle of Armageddon. He's going to destroy everything. He's going to go to Israel. He's going to kill the 144,000. He's not going to do it personally, but he's going to do it through his system. It's a system. So I said we're not an organization, we're an organism, a living, working organism, not an organization. All right, everybody with me? So there's your lion, ox, man, and eagle. The first three ages was the lion age. The ox age we're getting ready to talk about. The man age is coming up with Luther and Wesley. And then the eagle age is the age that you and I are in that flies higher, that we start, we get born again, and then we do desire the sincere milk of the word. But to grow thereby, Paul said, but leaving those principles, we got to go on to perfection. We got to eat some rabbit. We got to eat some chicken. It's going to take these four beasts. Listen, it's going to take these four beasts to open the seals. I know Jesus Christ opened the seals, but who is he? He is those four beasts. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, I heard it were the noise of thunder, and John's just standing there in awe. But one of the four beasts says, come here, John, I want to show you something. I want to show you something special. I want to expose the Antichrist to you, even in this first church age. That's what that lion anointing did. The lion called out and said, come and see, John. Amen. Then the next age, what was it? Come and see, John, the ox age. Then you got, come and see, John, the man. Come and see, the eagle age. And then they left, and we left. We leave with them. Everybody with me? Then we talked about the scene there in Revelations where the first of the throne is, first at this throne is four living creatures. We know there's one throne. One sitting on the throne, all right? Outside of that is 24 elders sitting upon the throne, upon their thrones. Brother Brown said, around this is a great host of angels. See what I mean? They're everyone different, one from the other. There's angels, elders, and here is living creatures because those four living creatures were there in that scene. Listen, wherever the bride's at is where those four beasts are going to be, four living creatures. That's what you need every day. You need the boldness of a lion to be able to talk the word of God and say, this is where God said it, and I believe it. You show me where he took it out. Then the ox. You got to be able to labor with somebody. Have patience. That's why patience is right here. That's about that middle age. You get in there where you look and see that you need the ox to get through. And then you got to have the intelligence of the man. As we were talking last night, you got to know what is somebody's quoting, you know, Brother Dale always said, I don't know how to quote all the scripture. He said, but I know somebody that can, or I know how to find it. In other words, he get information. Right. Well, that's what the man anointing is. A man anointing is what? If man came here, that anointing came to put this thing together. And remember, we were talking about Tyndale. Tyndale, they killed him. They drug him through the street and killed him for writing the Bible or for putting it together. Look what they went through just to get this thing to us. But the man anointing allowed them to do that. Printing presses and all these different things. But remember, that man anointing also created cars, guns, yes. Which kill more people than anything. That's right. So you got to know which side you're on. And then the eagle anointing, as you're flying higher, this is one thing that, see, Satan can imitate all those other ones. But he can't imitate the eagle. He can to a point. Remember, Brother Brown said the crow can go so far. Hello? Yeah? The hawk can go so far. The devil can go so far. But there's a time, folks, right now In this end time, where we are to be untouchable in the Word of God.
Amen.
We're to be where Satan can't do anything with us because we have so much of the Word of God. We're wrapped so much into this spirit of not the spirit of that age, but the spirit of this age, the eagle anointing that come to us through a prophet that shields us, and we know how to use this thing right here. Paul said, by reason of use is your senses exercised. You want big muscles? Sit around and eat tater chips. You don't have big muscles? Work out. Exercise your, listen, every one of you sitting in here today, like we talked about this morning, or yesterday afternoon, and if you wasn't there, I wish you would listen or watch it. Because you take every one of those people, there were 30 or more people in that room, every one, now there was a couple maybe had the same scripture, but there was from Habakkuk to Isaiah to Malachi to Job to Esther. It was a whole plethora of, it wasn't just like, well, we all believe in Malachi 4. Well, we do all believe in Malachi 4. But we also believe in Revelation 10 as that was Brother Luis's favorite, not 10:7, 10:8 through 12. Because it what? It identifies us with it. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he begins to sound, the mystery of God to be finished, and then John says, give me the book. And the book's open. Give it to me, John said. John didn't say, now, if I'm worthy. No. And he didn't take it from the seventh angel messenger either. He took it from the mighty angel, you and I. Now listen to me. Brother Branham's off the scene. We don't have to go through him to get to God. We go through his message to get to God. But we don't have to go through him to get to God. He's not our intercessor. God is our intercessor. The Holy Ghost is our intercessor. Listen, if you want power, get the Holy Ghost. If you want to solve some of your problems, get the Holy Ghost. If you want to live a better life, get the Holy Ghost. If you want your kids to grow up better, get the Holy Ghost and show it to them. It all hinges on the Holy Ghost. Those four living creatures living inside of you. Listen, there's a life inside of a life. We live a human life. We have children. We do the things of man. Sorry, we go to work, we eat, we breathe. But there's something inside of you that's way different than that. And as we were talking about last night, here's the deal. Sin was so bad, and sin was so contrary to God. Everybody with me? Till even Adam, who had the Holy Ghost in his soul, remember, he had eternal life in his soul, he bypassed that. Because he knew what he was doing. He bypassed that into his spirit realm. And then what happened? Memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination. His affection took over. And to save Eve, absolutely. To save Eve, he took her. Not to have sex with her, but he took her to himself. He said, God, don't kill her or you'll have to kill me. What's the saying? Listen, all down through the ages, you look at Moses. He said, God, if you got to kill them, you got to kill me. What did Brother Branham say? He said, God, I got on my own a limb. Spoken word's original seed. And I don't know what to do. Holy Ghost said, pick up your pen and write. He said, as of yet, Malachi 4 has not been made known or fulfilled. So he knew his message had to go longer. Everybody with me? It's just real simple to see that Brother Brown thought he preached it all. He thought he had done it all. He thought he had brought us to a point, which he did. He brought us back to that mirror image of the first church age. Restored the gifts, tied up the loose ends, brought all that back to here, but the book was still closed. The book had to be open. The seals had to be broke. So that you and I have a chance to sit here today and take a body change. Without that, you can't. Denominations can't bring it. They're hybridized. They got too much of their own ideas. Do we have too much of our own ideas? Well, we can be a denomination of our own self if we don't watch it. But sin was so bad. Can I ask you a question, as I asked him last night? How many's had a bad thought today? Oh, raise your hand. You just had one now. Against me. Ha! Right, Brother Kylie? Now, where'd that come from? If you're born again today, where'd that come from? It didn't come from God. It didn't come from your soul. It came from your emotion, your spirit realm. It overrode what the Holy Ghost could do if you just listened to it. Oh, yeah, come on, people. We don't sin in our soul if we're born again. You don't sin in your flesh if you're born again. You sin in your spirit. Your body just does. This just does what's told it to do. We've got that Holy Ghost so bound. Brother Graham said the Holy Ghost has been bound for 2,000 years, not because of anything but misinterpreted theology or denomination or man's own ideas. That's how it was bound. But he said, but in the end time, it's been loosed by the seventh angel message. Praise God we're underneath that. Praise God we're a part of that. We just got to reach out and get it. Let that soul work. Let it take over. But we don't. But we're working on it. So you got the lion, ox, man, and eagle. We know what each one of them were. And we kind of give you the little drawing there of how the lion, ox, man, and eagle. Kind of strange that the lion of the tribe of Judah is on the east. I wonder who he's talking about. Jesus said, I'll come from the east. All right. Then you've got down at the bottom Reuben, which is the man anointing, and he was the first one born of the patriarchs, of the 12. Then you got the ox age over there in the west, and then you got the eagle anointing at the top, which is Dan, and that's at the north. Pretty good eagle's anointing up here. But they protected what? The mercy seat. So now where is that mercy seat? Listen, that tabernacle has been destroyed. All right, it's been destroyed. It's laying somewhere in Israel or somewhere in Iraq or Iran or somewhere. Uh-huh. And America is now helping them get the red heifer, which they have several, more than just a few now. They have 100 that they can deal, that they can work with. But you got to have that. You got to have, they have to go through steps. As we're going to talk about this afternoon. Under the law, you have to go by the law. If you're not born again today, you are under the law. You are under do's and don'ts. But the Bible says we're free from the law of sin and death. We're going to read it. I didn't know so much death was in the Old Testament until I got to reading it the other day. I had to just scratch the surface. I mean, if you killed a man, certain thing, you died. If you worked on the Sabbath, you died. It wasn't that they smacked you on the hand saying, don't you do that no more. You died. Amen. Died. Dead. See what I mean about death? Bible said death hath no more dominion over us. We were born under the law. We know that. Jesus Christ was born under the law. But what he did, he redeemed us from the curse of the law. He didn't do away with the law. He didn't do away with the law. He couldn't. Because the law having a shadow of things to come, we'll get to it this afternoon. I'm in my message today. So those temple guards, it's the Holy Ghost guarding what? That temple. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
And those four living creatures, not dead ideas, those four living creatures help you through life. If you'll let it help you through. Amen. Listen, who's your worst enemy? You said me. Brother Darty said me. So he said me. So it's me? Your worst enemy is you. That's our worst enemy. That's who we fight with, that man, every day. If you don't fight, you need the Holy Ghost. Then the fight begins. I mean a real fight. A struggle. But praise God for those that went through that. Praise God for these people who went through this church age and come out of it.
Yes.
Because some of them had to make it to the lap over so that Luther's age could take over and take us into the justification and then sanctification in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Everybody with me? All right. So the Thyatiran church age was 606 to 1520. Very long church age. It lasted for 900 years. And listen, that 900 years was killing. Physically killing Christians because they said they were Christians and not a Catholic. That's why they call it the Dark Ages. That's why the ox anointing, it was a labor to make it through. But we'll look at that just for a minute. Because remember, the ox is slow, but still works. Come on, the ox is slow, but it still works. You really don't see, horses. Now, you might have years ago, but mostly it was mules, donkeys, and ox because they walk, but they're powerful. You don't want a racehorse and get behind it with a plow. They call that dragging. They call that getting drug. All right? But if you got an ox, you just kind of get the gate and you walk through and get the gate of the animal and you walk through. And that's what this age was. It was a powerful age in that they made it through, but it was a long age that they had to depend on even Columba, their messenger. Listen, we revere our messenger, amen? And we're lucky enough and fortunate enough to have it in tape and book form, amen? They didn't. Columba was already dead before this ox anointing age. Now, sure, it came from his message. All right, he came from that fourth star, but he was already gone. He wasn't there to go to the people and say, no, don't do this. Don't do that. This is what this is. They had to go by the Holy Ghost that was inside of them to listen to what it said to get them through. Now, remember, the word Thyatira means dominating female. Or it means also continual sacrifice. And boy, did they not. 68 million of them gave their life. The messenger was St. Columba. He lived from 521 to 597. He was born in Donegal, Ireland. See, he died in 597. The age started 606. So he was already gone before the church age started. But his message was so powerful. God anointed that man so powerful till he wasn't in tape and book form like we got. It was word of mouth. The ministers or the people that were in the abbeys, they call them then, the churches and the areas, they had to listen. And if you weren't there, you missed it. All right, let's read this real quick. Let's look at this just for a second. Until the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes likened to flames of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. In other words, God's going to pass judgment on this church age. Okay, he's not going to forget what they did. Amen. Look, I know thy works, there's the first one, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works. All right, he said, that's number two. Now watch, and the last be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou hast suffered that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants, my servants. Satan got in the church with this Jezebel doctrine. Did you see that? Seduce my servants and to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent. Thank God he always gives them a space to repent. And I gave her, the church, a space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. You're not going to get the Catholics to repent for what they did. They have a justification for what they did. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent. There he is again, except they repent. Now, he said works twice. All right. And I will kill her children with death. I will kill her children. He didn't say, I'll kill her with a sword. I'll kill her with a gun. I'll kill her with a knife. Because that would be what you would think that's what God said. He said, no, I'm going to kill them with death. Amen. We'll see what Brother Brown says about that. We'll talk about it this afternoon. And all the churches, see, all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to, that's number three, your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. So in other words, they don't have to know what the seals are. They don't have to know about Daniel 70 weeks. They don't have to know about the statue of perfect man. They just survived. Jesus Christ was their Savior. And that was it. But he said, I'll put no more on you, because the burden already is on you. You're going to die. But that which you have already, hold fast till I come. Now watch this. Verse 26. It was your works, your works, your works, three times. Now watch. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works. Whoa. You don't overcome by your works. You overcome by his works. Keepeth my works unto the end. To him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessel of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I have received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. We'll talk about that later on. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. So the ox age is an age of works. And that's what we'll get to. This is the point real quick. James 2 verse 17. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead. All right? Being alone. All right? Because Brother Branham preached works is faith expressed. All right, watch. Now remember, he said, your works, your works, your works, my works. Everybody with me? Just for a few minutes. Shake yourself. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. There is no way you can be a born-again Christian and not have works. But you can have works and not be born again. You watch out for people that work. They always want to work. They always want to work. They always want to work. You better be leery of that person, because they're wanting to work themselves into heaven, not get born again and do the works. Everybody with me? I've seen it several times. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. All right? This great faith, there's got to be works, follow it. But you can have all kind of works and be dead as a doornail. That's why he said, I'll kill them with death. I'm going to kill them with the very thing that they died. Well, I'll get to it this afternoon. It's really interesting what Brother Branham says about that. In the Thyatira church age, here again we find the same introduction remark. I know thy works. The Son of God himself said, believe me for the very works' sake. Even Jesus said, look, if you can't believe me for the works. But remember, when they believed and they put all the emphasis on the works, when he began to say, I and my Father are one, or he began to say, I am God, they couldn't take it. But they loved his works. Healing, signs and wonders. That's what this everything's going to be tied to signs and wonders. But it is the right one. There's two spirits working, remember? Believe me for the very work's sake. He put an emphasis on his own works. Not yours. On his own works, my works, while on earth. The works that he did were ordained of God to inspire faith in him. It was a great part of his ministry. His Holy Spirit and the Apostle Paul said, for we are his workmanship. Work, workmanship. We work. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2 verse 10 said, that's Ephesians 2 verse 10. These works were to inspire faith in him as they would show forth that relationship to him that Paul described as created in him. This is Brother Brown on the Thyatira Church Age. Now works will never take the place of faith. Watch. Works will never take the place. All right? It'll never take the place of faith in God for our salvation. All right? But works will show forth our faith already placed in him. Good works won't save you, but they will come forth out of a saved life. Praise God. It'll come forth just as a fruit. If you plant an orange tree, oranges are going to come out on that limb. Good works won't save you, but they will come forth out of a saved life as fruit unto the Lord. I believe in good works. Even if a man is not saved, he ought to do good works and do the best he can. Hello? But you know what? They don't. Because the world took over and what is it? I mean, it's a selfish world now. Selfie world now. What is horrible in the sight of God, now watch, is for men to do evil works and then say they were doing the will of God. That's what God can't stand. In this verse, he is commending his children because they were living changed lives. Their works testified to a new spirit within. Men saw their good works and glorified God. Yes, sir, if you are a Christian, you are going to do what is right. Your works will show that your heart is right. And if it won't be something that you put on, for you will do his will when no one but God sees. Whoa. I should have underlined that one and made it red. It won't be something that you put on, for you will do his will when no one but God sees you. And you will do his will even what? If it costs you your life. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to take a bullet for God? So Brother Brian preached, works is faith expressed. I know that works, and the last to be more than the first. Brother Brian said, look, this is certainly remarkable. As the darkness of the age increased, as the honor roll of the martyrs grew lengthier day by day, they worked all the harder. Now, here's a rebuke to us. Our problem in Laodicea is we get the clamps put on us, we go backwards. Oh, I'm going to read it. Don't you think I already know he already said that? In our age, we cower down. Their age, they knew they were being put to the lions. They knew that what was going on they were going to die for. And Brother Brown said they worked harder and harder. They served all the more and their faith increased. How tragic it was in that Ephesian age where love waned. And truly nothing is said of the increased labor of love in the other ages. But in this age, in the darkest of all ages, they served him even more. What a lesson that is. There's no ceasing of this gracious service of love unto the Lord, but rather an increase of it. That is the secret. Let the enemy attempt to thwart our service to the Lord. Our reply is, I ain't going to church. They don't like me no more. I just don't. Gosh. Oh, Lord. I got to sit beside somebody. I got to listen to that baby cry. I got this little ache in my leg. Oh, my car needs working on. I really don't like that guy in the pulpit. So. Let the enemy attempt to thwart our service to the Lord. Our reply is increased service.
Yes, sir.
We can sit here. Me and June were talking about something the other day. You can sit, stand here, and you can tell people, if you're having trouble, don't stay out of church. You do not listen to what we say. Now, is that true? That's true. We all go, ah! These people in this church age said what? Bring it on. Bring it on. My faith will be increased by what I do, by what I do. Step out for God.
Amen.
And he'll be there for you. He was with them.
Yes.
I don't say this is thus saith the Lord, but I promise you, if the first martyr, we're going to talk about it today, this afternoon, the first martyr was Stephen. The Bible said he fell asleep.
Watch out. Come on.
That's right.
These people fell asleep.
Yes.
I don't believe they felt a lion pulling their guts out. I believe God gave them an anesthesia.
Yes,
it's called the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
To get through that age. And to look over and see a Roman looking at them going, what in the world? and so much of a spirit coming off those people till the Romans get converted. Praise God, they'll be in heaven. What a greater thing. Sure, we all want our kids to come to church. We all want our kids to be born again. But what about one day your greatest... Oh, wait a minute. You don't have an enemy, right? Just pray for me. To see your greatest tormentor, not the devil now, the one that torments you, like your coworker, your mother-in-law, your father-in-law, those different things. Don't hit me. But what greater joy is to see them give their heart to the Lord? What greater joy was it for those people that walked in that lion's den, knew they were not coming out, and knew that Roman was there to stand to make sure they didn't go back in the catacomb? And for him to just start tearing up and saying, God, what's... At first, he's going to say, God, what's wrong with them people? When he gets done, he's going to say, God, what's right with them people? The same way with me and you. How about your greatest enemy? Can you lead them to the Lord? Or are you going to put them in hell? Yeah, I'm going to preach. That's our problem. We want our enemies dead. Sure, we want our enemies dead, the devils. And we know the devil gets in people. But what a great joy was it to see those Christians turn and look and that Roman start tearing his armor off. He takes and throws that spear down. And he says, whatever you got, I want. Whatever you got, I want it. And he gets the Holy Ghost right before he dies. What a confession. Gee, I'm getting too old for this. I want to give you a warning right here. It says concerning the last days. Now watch. He jumped over from this Thyatira church age to our age, and then we'll close and pick up this afternoon. It says concerning the last days that because of abounding iniquity. What's iniquity? Knowing to do better, not doing it, or doing it, knowing you shouldn't. The love of many will wax cold. And the Laodicean or last age, self-love and love for material things will take the place of the true love of God. Anybody went down somebody's aisle yet? If not, pray for me. We need to guard against the power of sin in these last days. It is time to draw nigh to God and let him fill our lives with his love. Or we will feel the coldness of the last day church and reject the truth of God, which alone is able to help us. Wow. That's a prophet. So many are getting so hard because they haven't realized the effects of this last day spirit. It's time to draw nigh to God and let him fill our lives with his love, or we will feel the coldness of the last day church and reject the truth of God, which alone is able to help us. Tell you what, let's stop right here. Musicians, come on. We'll cover this afternoon. Let's stand. What's the last enemy to be destroyed? Death. All right, if you're born again, you got one done. Right? Then we'll continue on where he says, I'll kill them with death. And as we were reading last night in Thessalonians, it says, those that are asleep, Christ will bring with him. The Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's not dead physical. If you don't die here, you got another death. You got to die over there. Hello, somebody. Listen, we're asleep. If you're born again, you're asleep. But you died in Christ here. This is where you die. What did Brother Bram say? He said, not divorced. Dead. D-E-A-D. That way we can marry again. Let's not get into that. Go ahead. Let's sing a song. God bless you if you have a need.
And I just want to thank you, Lord, for letting me hear your word.
You believe that?
Why?
You've accepted him for the message of the hour that you're sitting in today. For thine. Oh, everybody remember that? When I saw your glorious sight, came to face with eternal life, Lord, I thank thee. You didn't have to open my eyes. Saving our soul, Lord. Filling us with the Holy Ghost. Giving us of your eternal life. And Lord, to see this message and have ourselves turned to it, Lord. And that we see it and that we are anointed by it, Lord. Thank you so much for these songs that we sing. The special night. You remember that?
When I saw your glorious light come face to face with eternal life.
Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that the words that are spoken today, Lord, will be pleasant in your ears. And Father, that we'll take this message and continue on to the coming of the Lord. Father, forgive us of our faults and failures. Lord, you said we'd be perfect in love and that we would be, Lord, in the message of the hour, that we would see or understand what you have for this end time. And Lord, I pray that you be with the people, Lord, as they leave and take a few moments to eat, Father, and come back this afternoon. Father, I pray that you'd bless each one. Forgive us of our faults and failures, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. See you in a little bit.
Lord, I